Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to the Prinzing Show. It is Wednesday in Colorado, and my guest today on the show will also be from Colorado, which is quite unique since I have several guests from all over the United States and Canada, nobody from Alaska yet. So it's a sweltering hot here in Colorado today. It feels like Las Vegas. With probably 0% humidity. So we're baking here in Colorado. So here we are again, the Prinzing Show. And again, for the new listeners or even the old ones, it's not the Prinzing Show. I am not in the newspaper business. The newspaper probably doesn't even exist anymore. So the show is based around my business, the Prinzing Method, which is an intuitive guided form of body psychology that I kind of stumbled across over years. And the name of the show, of course, is The Prinzing Show, P-R-I-N-Z like zebra, I-N-G, The Prinzing Show. Most of my guests have more simple names than I do, and this is true. My guest today is Ken Elliott. I'm going to give you some of his contact information before I bring him on. So in case you're listening and you want to follow along and see some of his beautiful paintings that he does, he uses both pastels and oils, and is considered a landscape artist. You can connect with him on his website, which is www.kenelliott, K-E-N, and then E-L-L-I-O-T-T.com. He also is an author, and this will be some wonderful conversation for today, and hopefully we can help a lot of people, either in my method or perhaps his. And through his book, he's an author of Manifesting 1-2-3, which I think is a fabulous title. He also has a website you can connect with, www.manifesting123.com. I think it's wonderful. The other place to connect with either Ken or myself, of course, is on LinkedIn, which is linkedin.com/in/our names, not necessarily our names. Don't type in O-U-R-S-N-H. Make sure you spell out our names for real. Ken Elliott and Marlene Prinzing. And again, I am the host here on Blog Talk Radio, so I want to thank Blog Talk Radio for giving us this platform. And the Prinzing Show is the place where we promote your business and we spread good news. We just had some more awful news on the news today, and I'm not even going to tell you what it is because we're not talking about that. We're going to take our attention to other places and other things and try to shift the energies in a better direction and not listen to all the bad news. Speaking of good news, another fun thing that we're going to talk about here today with Ken is he's also considered the law of attraction expert. And as some of you know, I have a little segue on my business as well, which is called Marlene's Matchmaking, or I jokingly say the Prinzing Match dot. And one of my guests in one of my shows was on a few weeks ago, and I had introduced him to his future wife, and that's exactly how I introduced him, which is, hello, this is so-and-so, this is your future wife. So we'll see how Ken's process of the law of attraction relates to that at all, or we'll even see if his law of attraction relates to what we all sort of know as the book that came out called The Secret, which is on the premise of like attracts like. So stay tuned here. We're going to introduce Ken here, and then we're going to find out what he's got to tell us and how we can help people. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show, Marlene.
Yeah, I love your paintings and what you do. So tell us a tidbit about what you do and your wonderful paintings.
Well, it's funny that what I spend the most time on is this, the manifesting, the book, and
good.
Topics like that. But, yeah, I'm a full-time artist, the real thing. I was fortunate to have been mentored by one of the best of the American painters, a man named Wolf Kahn, a well-known New York landscape painter, one of the best colorists in the world. Mm-hmm. So he gave me enough for a lifetime. Then I I was in need of another of some really big help, and by asking someone who's really plugged in as a writer into the metaphysical Shane, I asked for the name of the most gifted, most accurate psychic in the country. She gave me the phone number for Judy Goodman, and we plugged in like the old friends we'd been for centuries, really. And she said, I've been waiting for you to call. So I had I learned a lot of things from her over the last 25 years. And one of the things I had fun with, but I never connected it to anything, it was just a little, sort of a parlor trick thing, is somebody told me that I could send things in thought to Liz in Georgia. I was in San Francisco at the time, and she would get it. You know, a perfect stranger called me up, knew that I'd been talking with Judy, and I said, well, what are you talking about? Send something in thought. And she told me a lot about Judy. She's extraordinarily gifted, possibly one of the most gifted people I've ever heard of. That's a big statement because I have a lot of very gifted friends. Don't want to take anything away from them. But we don't have time in the program to go through all the stories and all the remarkable things that she has done that go beyond the imagination, way beyond what you've seen on Oprah or any of that kind of thing.
Oh, good.
So, and this is one of them. You send her something in thought, she'll get it. And I went, what are you talking about? And she said that she had sent Judy a bouquet of flowers for her birthday the year before, called Judy up later, and Judy described the bouquet of flowers that arrived in thought. So Judy could see these in spirit. You wouldn't see them in the physical unless you're extraordinarily gifted. So so for over 20 years, I started sending her things in thought. And I was I was so oblivious. I mean, I'm not that person that, you know, born gifted and knowing and wise and plugged in and all that stuff. I'm just a guy from Texas and an artist and got one foot on the ground and running a business. And yes, I had some interesting experiences once I met Judy and remembered some old dreams. But, you know, I wasn't prepared or trained to do anything special. It's in the book. You know, I sent her a number of things over the years, and she got them every time. I also became very close friends. We meet the people we're supposed to meet, right? So I ran into William Buhlman, who's the premier out-of-body author. His books are in over 8 languages. He was his web guy for a while, and we're the best of friends, very close friends all these years. And when he was in Boulder, he was doing an out-of-body workshop. That's how you travel to the other side without having to be in an automobile accident to do it. And which is very important. And, you know, once you go out of body, you go the other side, it's empowering. That is your story to make and talk you out of it. And you're fully conscious and walk around over there, and you see so-called deceased relatives or this thing or that thing. It's quite a thing. Mm-hmm. So William was teaching that class, and he had this little throwaway thing he said. He doesn't pound on this. He has a lot of information, and his focus is not this item. But I got together at lunch that day, and I said, tell me this thing again. Now, I want everybody to just pause for a minute, because what I'm about to give you is not in the literature. You haven't read this in a book yet. And this is terribly, terribly, terribly important. The law of attraction, is a side effect of this. Everything in your house, everything in your life is a side effect of this singular fact. I can't tell you how important this thing is. I'm just the messenger boy for this. This is not my unique idea. But there are a few people in the world that know of this, and they can see this. And there are 4 people in my life that know this, and they have taught me this. And we have experimented with this. So William said he would make lists. Law of attraction, you make lists, you make vision boards, you know, this sort of thing. You do ceremonies. Yeah. You're making layers of intention. You keep touching it and touching it, and it will grow, right? I mean, that's sort of, you'll bring it to you. You'll bring it to you. You keep doing this.
Yeah.
You bring it to you. But that's the law of attraction thing. Well, William was a list-making son of a gun. Now, guys, we don't make lists. Give me a break. We don't. When we go to the grocery store, we'll figure it out. That's why we don't come back with everything we're supposed to have, right? We don't make lists. And William was a list-making son of a gun. And we're talking about this, and he said, well, you know, I go out of body a number of times a week, And sometimes I'll be in this place where I can see all the things that are on my list currently in various stages of forming up. I said, what do you mean, forming up? You're in spirit, right? He said, yeah, I'm on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see my stuff. It's not on a shelf, but it's kind of like it's arrayed in a line. And I can see it in various stages of formation. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, let's say that I need a new car, and I've had it on my wish list about this new car now for 6 weeks. And so every day I look at this wish list. I might touch it. I might keep it in my billfold. I have it on the mirror, whatever it is. I don't know how he does it, but he touches this list. He's in contact with that list every day. And when he's over there, one of the items he can see arrayed on the other side is that car. Now, he's been on it for about 6 weeks, so it's gone from what would be a vapor, a puff of smoke, and since he's put 6 weeks' worth of intentions on it, it's taking on a form, and it has a slight color to it, a blush of red, because he wanted a red one. I said, what? More. What else? He said, well, all right, so maybe there's something else I'm working on here. And he wasn't worried about a job, but maybe he's got a career that he would like improved. And so he has on the wish list something about a perfect career, say, or a better job, as people would say. I don't like to use the word job. So over there, he's been working on this for a couple of weeks, and there's this wisp of smoke. Now, when you're over there, you have a lot of knowing. And I don't want to lose people with a lot of airy-fairy woo-woo stuff, but this is what it is. So when you're over there, he can look at that vaporous form. It's a concept, but he knows that's his job. And because it's not fully formed, if it were fully formed as a concept, it would look like a fully formed cloud. Not a wisp of cloud, but a fully formed cloud. And he knows that's his job, and it's just forming up. It's not doing that well yet, but he'll stay with it. But that truck is doing pretty good. Now, he was working on a new house, we'll say. He can clearly see this house. It's fully 3D. It's fully formed. It's full color. And he could say, well, I need to set my watch by it. It's coming over into the physical world.
Oh,
I said, so what you're telling me is you just layer up these intentions. It starts as a puff of smoke? He said, yeah, that's it. And the more you work on it, the more solid it gets. Well, I'm glad I was sitting down.
Yeah, right.
That's a secret to the universe. Now look around your room.
Yes.
Everything was a thought first.
Yes.
A piece of paper was a tree in the forest.
Yeah.
And somebody had to put gas in the car and say, kiss the wife and kids goodbye, and go and get that tree and bring it back and take it to a mill that was, you know, it's all... And this is the house that Jack built, and there's money, and there's bonding, and there's insurance companies, and there's, you know, and then you get a piece of paper. How many tens of thousands of man hours, how much intention does it take to get that tree and bring it as a piece of paper in your house?
Right.
It was a puff of smoke first, a lot of puffs of smoke to make mills and trucks and gasoline and supply. Can you imagine?
Uh-huh.
But they can see it form up.
Interesting.
So I started, fascinating. I'll tell you what it is. It's a key to the universe is what it is.
Yeah.
Now, you don't run across those sort of things very often. This is terribly important. And I want to underscore again, I'm just Ken, the guy on the phone. This is not my invention. This is not my discovery. This is not my power. But we were born with this stuff.
And
people are talking about this all the time. So I played around with this. I sent Judy all manner of objects. And some other friends of mine, other friends that do this. I didn't send things to William, but there are other people that are gifted enough. They can see these things forming up, even at a distance.
Uh-huh.
So your potential future is forming up around you all the time because you're thinking about it.
Yes.
So the law of attraction is getting close to this, but this is a core concept.
Okay.
Imagine you have a thought. Yeah, you have a thought. And you put a coffee cup in the middle of the table. That's your thought.
Okay.
Nothing happens without that thought. The law of attraction is a side effect of that coffee cup sitting on the table. Your core thought will bring things to it. The law of attraction is a side effect of that thought. No thought, You know, there's nothing to be attracted to, right?
Okay. Yeah.
This reminds me of something.
I want to ask you when you finish that thought, if you're done with speaking of thought.
Oh, no, I can just do this way too long. You jump in, please.
Well, it reminds me of a couple things. It reminds me of what's in the genre of collective consciousness today, particularly through Deepak Chopra and quantum physics, but also on the science side of it, where they're talking about the same thing, where there's a quantum reality going on that then is affected in a way only when you put your attention on it, and they've scientifically proven this. Or is this similar to what you're talking about?
Well, they're still trying to figure out quantum. And quantum is a big word that means a lot of things. It's like telling someone it's some kind of number with 10,000 zeros, a Google waka waka, you know. And so you kind of get it, but you don't know exactly what it is. Let's put it in terms we can understand. What my friends are observing, what they're observing, is that your thought is a thing. And Mike Dooley is square on when he says thoughts are real, thoughts are things. Edgar Casey said thought is the builder. Everybody's talking about this. Everybody's saying if we petition the light switch, if we put the right stickies on there, if we pray for a good result, if we keep concentrating on this light switch, then we go up there and touch it, the odds are that thing is going to turn on.
Mm-hmm.
What we're getting today is, you know, the light switch is hooked up to the electrical plant. It's going to turn on every time. No more wishing and hoping. When you think it starts to build, your job is to stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And your layers of intention will take it from a vapor over there on the other side to a semi-solid object, to something so 3D and so full color, it'll come into the physical reality. And that's how everything in this world was made, unless it occurred naturally. I can't look at the Manhattan skyline anymore without thinking, wow, that's just one big puff of smoke over there. You know, zillions of puffs of smoke. The only thing natural is that crabgrass growing out of the Avenue of Americas. You know, that came up on its own. But if you see a tree, that came from a nursery. That was an intention.
Right.
That was a thought first. So looking at this and taking away the word quantum and science, and I don't want to throw out the science, but in terms we can understand, your thoughts are interacting with something in the field around you. Let's call it a particle. Let's call it a who's it. It's interacting with something, and it creates an effect. In a vibratory field or astral plane just outside of it's AM or FM radio, whatever it is, and their friends gift enough to see it happen in real time. Now, and it's not just one. It's not me and somebody else you might say is cuckoo or somebody else you might say is so gifted it doesn't count. This is repeatable with other people. But it's high giftedness that sees this. So they're like great big instruments.
Mm-hmm.
We spent a lot of money on trying to find what is that one little teeny weeny particle center of everything, the quark. And we spent, you know, billions on the quark. Ta-da! Okay, so that opens up a lot of doors. Key of the universe, we know what this quark is. We can sort of track it around. What you learned today was if you think of something, it reacts with something in the field around you, and it starts to create the thing.
Sure.
And if you stay with it, it's going to make it. And by the way, worries are thoughts too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So for years, what I did is I would think of something and concentrate on it really, 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 really hard, just really, really hard, and I sent it to Judy, and she got it every time. Now, way, way back, the first time I sent her something to experiment, I thought I was going to send her a yellow rose and a simple silver base. That story is in the book. And she said, well, what are you going to do? I didn't tell her what I was going to send. I said, well, I'm going to think about something real hard and send it to you in thought. And she gave me something important, but I didn't get it. She said, well, you're going to send me a gift because it's my birthday. It was that next day. She said, all right, you're going to think about it. It's going to come out of your head, but because it's a gift, it's going to come out through your heart. And I'll get it every time. Now, that was a subtlety that I didn't understand. But later, here's the deal. When you're thinking of something, if you make that wish list or the vision board, or you just do it in your head, what I call the movie, you create a scene and you think of this thing, it starts to build. Now, if you add gratitude to that scene, it's exponentially more powerful.
It's just
fact. So I could sit and obvious by really cramming and jamming on it, but it was a lot more effective when I just took a few seconds and I did this. And here's the number one or the 1, 2, 3. Your thoughts can build forward in time. There's not a time problem over there. So if you're really smart and people are on this, people teach this, and I hammer away at it. Imagine you're in your future, and whatever it is that you desire has already happened. You could be in your perfect home.
Yeah.
You can be in your perfect career, or it's the end of the day, and you observe that you love that perfect career. You love it, love it, love it. And I'm so grateful. And whoosh, you just magnified. You won't feel a whoosh maybe, but you magnified that thought. And you do that every day. It will come to you. Law of attraction, you become the magnet of the center of that thought. Yes. And that's how the law of attraction works. That's the real secret. That's the secret of all secrets.
Yeah. Okay. I have another question for you. Let's see if this connects in any way. The Ayurvedic medicine from East India, kind of the oldest healthcare system in the world, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And also Chinese, they both kind of have this, but specifically in the Ayurvedic, what they call pulse diagnosis, they go in to find out what's going on with your body, and there's a specific method to get. It's not a heart pulse. It's not that pulse. It's a life pulse. It's a rhythm pulse in your body that has nothing to do with the rhythm of the heart or the blood necessarily. It's a different pulse.
Mm-hmm.
And what they say, this sounds so familiar to me. They say that the connection, and the process, I feel it as a sensitive person, the process of the pulse diagnosis of someone who is gifted enough to diagnose you, they also say the touching of the fingers on the other person's pulse, the connection of the two, is not only diagnostic, but it's therapeutic. Because I feel things happening in my body and moving and whatnot, and even in thought, when they do that. And then they say that the connection between the person who has the ability to connect to the pulse of who you are and what you're thinking is the beginning of manifestation.
Well, there's a number of different intentions at work there. And I'll just take it at the most simplistic level. If you ask me to go touch the pulse of someone who is repulsive to me, I'm not going to have a good effect.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have a good effect even thinking about going over there, particularly if I have all day to think about it.
Sure.
If it's repulsive to me, it might even make me physically sick.
Yeah.
It's going to train wreck my day. It's going to put a wrench into my day. And if your intention is that you want to receive a good effect or you're putting out a good effect, then that will be, you will receive it. Trying to pass that on to somebody else, that's a slightly different ballgame. My feeling is we can't run other people's 100-yard dashes, so to speak.
Right.
So they have their own walk. But there is a level of intention there that is fairly clear.
Mm.
And from that, anything can happen. But
sure,
there are multi-levels of tensions in there, and they're all quite positive, so I would expect a positive result.
Okay.
Even if you don't see it right away. There are people, and on my website that, www.manifesting123.com. There's over 100 stories, and there were a couple stories in there about people that were cured of glaucoma.
Mm.
It stopped. Glaucoma is an incurable disease. That's what the National Glaucoma Society says. Now, I'm not going to get here on the radio and oversell the fact you can be cured of everything, because we have things that we're here to experience and do, and nobody gets out of here alive. But for whatever the reason, there were two of those. Yeah, another interesting thing happens, too, along the lines of what you said. If you're going into your future and you have these individualized happy scenes, and in your future everything's happened and it's all good, you don't have that junk in your today's life, in your future, you leave it out. So people are spending a little time in their future every day, and guess what happens? There's this crazy side effect. People wake up happy. These are not happy people who woke up happy. And they called or they write and they said, I think this is permanent. I don't know why it feels permanent, but it's permanent.
Mm.
And their first day back on the job, their coworker's saying, what's up with you?
Yeah, yeah.
Or a couple of business guys, you know, very high-powered guys. Lots of money going through the pipe. Lots of bad things can happen. People want returns on their investments and, you know, the whole thing. And uh-huh. and they go to work. One guy called me from the office. He said, I don't know what's going on. I thought I detected something when I woke up, and he's not a woo-woo guy. You know, he's a business guy. In fact, he was doing manifested in the closet, so to speak. When he started getting results, he called me and said, I think
this is something.
I love that.
Yeah.
He said, I woke up, went into the office. I've got the same job with all this junk coming at me. He said, I'm in another gear. I don't feel the stress.
Oh, that's a nice
I'm just,
excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I'm in
nice.
Some kind of groove here. It's nice.
Yeah.
It was a side effect. He wouldn't actually specify that in his future stress was reduced. But he
uh-huh.
could have. But it was a side effect of being in that happy, all those happy scenes day after day after day. I speculate.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's amazing what can happen if you
right.
ask, if you pray. I don't know about the prayer department. I never got a tour of that, but they're on the job. But we are allowed to create, to build, not ask and pray and grovel and crawl around. We can
uh-huh.
literally build day to day the results we desire.
Yeah. So
it sounds too good
here,
to be true. Yeah.
You know, it's not. It isn't. I think it was the same thing I said when I opened up the show. You know, I heard bad news today and I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm not going to bring my attention there or create it
mm-hmm.
or make it bigger. And I think we all know that. I think you have just reached a different level that seems sort of unbelievable. But I think a lot of people have not taken the opportunity or the chance or the whatever you would call it to get into the deeper layers of it when it actually starts to, when you can see visible results, you know, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So in closing, I want to ask you, do you have a strategy or formula that you guide people through, you know, in getting into different levels of this to help them? Is that what you do?
Yes.
With
people
the
call me for consultation, but it's in the
okay.
book. I have
okay.
a lot of archive radio shows where I, you know, the information there on the radio shows. I'm charging $15 for the book, and I'm not going to go the other side, which I get over every once in a while, and somebody say, you were charging people too much money for things they already know how to do. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to charge you to learn how to breathe. This is your birthright. And if you think
nice.
About it, Hold out a cup of coffee at the arm's length and let it go. You
okay.
are a master at gravity. And
okay.
and you and the strongest man in the world are equally competent at gravity. And your
yeah.
thoughts make things. Everybody says it. Thoughts make
yeah.
things. Eddie Dooley says that. Thoughts are real. Your thoughts
right.
create things, and my friends can watch it happen.
Right.
And you don't have to be trained to do this. You've been doing it ever
okay.
since you were thinking.
Well, that's wonderful. Wonderful. So I want to thank you for being on the show. I'm going to close out on your end so I can close out on the main show here. And I just want to thank you so much for being on the show and spreading the good news that I like to spread around.
Thank you, Marlene. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We have less than 1 second to close out our show and do our thank yous here. But the whole show is about sort of being grateful and thanking. So what a fabulous show today. And as you can tell from the talking today, you can take this on your own and go forwards and start shifting your own intention. I'm going to add one thing to this, which is there is a hand mudra or a hand mode that you can do, and it's called the hand mudra of intention. And it's the tip of your index finger goes to the middle joint of your thumb. And touching that is a neurological connection to magnifying your intention with an I. So give that a trick, too. That's the last little tidbit. I want to thank Blog Talk Radio. Connect with me on theprinzingmethod.com. Connect to the book at manifesting123.com.